This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
والله يدعو إلى دار السلام ويهدي من يشاء إلى صراط مستقيم.
How can we as an ummah understand the difference of opinions and use it to unify ourselves? Find out more on the straight path.
After those long dark nights, now my world is bright. Islam is my sight. Now I found the light. After those long dark nights, now my world is bright. Islam is my sight. Now my world.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to The Straight Path. I'm your host, Fuad Muhammad. In a previous episode, we talked about a practical way of implementing unity, especially with Muslims living as a minority in non-Muslim countries. But today we're going to talk about achieving unity within ourselves, especially with dealing with issues such as difference of opinions, the different school of thoughts, the different way we praise. So to talk more about this, we have the pleasure of having with us Dr. Saif, Muhammad Saif from India, and as well Brother Aman Paul from the UK, and as well Sheikh Haytham Al-Haddad, the director of the Muslim Research and Development Foundation, an organization and a think tank, which is aimed towards finding the solution of Muslims in the West. Thank you for being with us, Sheikh. We were talking about the practical way of implementing unity within the Muslim Ummah, but then comes the difference of opinions. And in that episode also you mentioned that there are differences that we can tolerate and differences that we cannot tolerate. What are some of the differences we can tolerate with our other Muslims?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. The differences that we can tolerate are the differences that carried out of good intention. Okay, mm-hmm. This is the main criteria. The differences that are carried out of good intention. What does that mean? Means the person is doing them, okay, or is carrying out these certain rituals, or is doing them because he thinks that this is the haq, or this is the truth. Means he is muta'awwil, as the scholars said. Now, examples of those differences. Someone, take for example the issue of prayer. We have so many differences in terms of the way we pray. Some people put their hands here, some people put their hands under the navel, and some people, for example, they move their fingers, and some people don't move their fingers. Some people recite Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim loudly, some people don't recite it loudly, and so on. This is an example, mm-hmm. Okay, examples from prayer. Now, there are some other examples. Look, for example, the issue of zakah. We have different examples. Giving zakah on jewelers, golden jewelers and adornments. Is it obligatory to give zakah or it is not obligatory? We have two opinions. You know, the Hanafi school of thought said that it is obligatory to give zakah. The majority, or the three schools of thought, they don't believe that zakah is wajib. Hajj, for example, to do tawaf in a certain way after sa'i, or to do two tawafs in once you are doing tamattu' and yani the ifrad or qiran. These are again differences. So these are examples of differences, and mm-hmm. There are so many examples in fiqh. Now, why did I say that the core issue here is to carry out anything out of good intention? And I haven't said that differences in minor issues or in fiqhi issues. Now, there are differences, because there are some differences in fiqh issues that are carried out of desires. And these differences, although they might be in minor issues, but in general, they should not be tolerated.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if someone not giving zakah for golden jewelries, because he doesn't want to give zakah. He doesn't want to give zakah. And he finds it difficult to give zakah on this money. This person is different from a person who believes that zakah is not obligatory on golden jewelries.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether the difference is clear,
yes,
or not.
Mm-hmm.
This is a fundamental difference. And that's why when you see someone who is doing something different from what you do, first of all, don't jump that he is not following the sunnah. Check what is his motivation behind this deed. That's why Al-Imam Ahmad, in Al-Amr Bil-Ma'ruf Wa Nahi An Al-Munkar book, he was asked a question. What about Julud Al-Tha'alib, the skin of fox? Can we use it or not? He said, إِذَا كَانَ مُتَأَوِّلًا, if he thinks that it is okay after dibagha, then it is you might advise him, okay, and that's all. But if he is a ammi, then stop him from doing so, or enjoin the good and forbid the evil. Why? What is the difference between talib al-ilm and the ammi? Talib al-ilm, he is doing that because he is thinking that he believes that this is okay.
Mm-hmm.
The other one, he doesn't believe that it is okay, and he might be doing it out of desire, or he doesn't know. Then if he doesn't know, just try to advise him not to do so. But talib al-ilm, he has his own interpretation. So this is the main issue. Even, to be honest with you, as we are talking about this issue, this is a very fundamental issue. Even some differences that we might not tolerate, they can be tolerated because of the motivation behind them. That's why the issue, the criteria is not to look at the difference, but you combine between the nature of the difference and the motivation behind the difference. For example, we know that we have to observe certain understanding towards the names and attributes of Allah Jalla wa'ala, that we don't make ta'wil, we don't make tahrif, we don't negate them, we don't divert or change the meaning, etc. Now, we know that some scholars from the past fell into this mistake. But those scholars are considered to be among the scholars of Ahl Sunnah. Although they might have ta'wil, they might believe in the Ash'ari methodology by changing the names and attributes of Allah Jalla wa Ala. Now, but their motivation is what?
Ilmiyan.
Their motivation is to reach to the haqq.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It is not just ta'assub, okay, or being stubborn towards their own belief, and we don't believe that any of the Muslim scholars is falling into this big problem, because a Muslim scholar, in general, he is a trustworthy person, and Allah Jalla wa'ala gave credibility to the Muslim scholars. So this person, in general, okay, especially the well-known scholars, those scholars fell into this mistake out of what good intention. They were thinking that this is the haqq. And Al-Shatibi, in his book Al-I'tisam, he mentioned that there were some people who used to believe in extreme views, alien views, deviant views, but they were accepted by the Muslim scholars. Why? Because the motivation was good motivation. And he said the clear sign that those people have the right motivation and the good motivation is the fact that when the haqq was clarified to them by others, they left their own i'tiqad, their own belief, the distorted belief, and they followed the truth. So in a nutshell, it is what we should combine between the motivation and the act itself. That is a summary of this critical point. I'm sure there are many other details to be discussed about this issue, but...
I want to shift it here a bit, Sheikh. And we know about the schools of thought and following the schools of thought. Many asks as well. I mean, for example, they take it to the extreme views of that if one person is following this school of thought, I should not be listening to him. I should not be taking any view for him. Can I give you an example of what has happened in my country? One of the brothers who follows the Hanafi madhab, he refused to pray behind one who is following another madhab based on making mess on the socks that is not leather. I mean, how do we make the normal person understand that it's okay that if you're following another madhab from them? What are the initiatives we should take in order to clarify these things?
Again, it is education. And we have to educate people that you don't judge people according to what you believe in this issue. Mm. You judge people according to what they believe, if it is a valid opinion according to any school of thought.
Mm.
Okay? Again, we don't judge people according to what you believe. Judge people according to what they believe, if what they believe is a well-known or is an authentic opinion according to any school of thought. That's why al-Imam Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib asked al-Imam Malik about this, shall we pray behind someone, Harun al-Rashid asked al-Imam Malik, shall we pray behind someone who bleeds and pray without wudu? Okay, he said, shouldn't I pray behind people such as Sa'id ibn Musayyib?
Subhanallah.
What do you want me to leave salah behind such people just because they believe something in contrary to what I believe? No. That's why, okay, we tell people, and I know this problem prevails in different countries. We tell them, the Sahaba have different views.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true or not?
Yes.
In many issues. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha refuted many Sahaba. And even she said that kadhaba fulan. And we know this. And Mu'adh ibn Jabal, the faqih, he held different views from many other Sahaba. Umar ibn al-Khattab, you know, when Uthman ibn Affan was coming to the khutbah, and Umar ibn al-Khattab said, you never had ghusl, and you came to the khutbah. So they have differences. Ibn Abbas, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Zayd. By the way, we can give some very good example of how the Sahaba used to deal with these differences. Mm-hmm. When we talk about Ibn Abbas, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, wa Zayd, they have these differences, but we never heard that they haven't accept to pray behind other Sahaba.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that although they have these different views, but they were not judging others and the acceptability of the acts of others according to their fiqh views. They are judging others according to their views. That's why in some of Al-Mughni, he mentioned a very interesting mas'ala. If someone, you know, eating the flesh of a camel, the opinion of Al-Imam Ahmad is what? That eating that flesh breaks the wudu. And it is his unique opinion. The other school of thoughts don't accept this opinion. He said, if a Hanafi eats that flesh and he prays, his salah is acceptable.
Okay.
However, if a Hanbali, a person who is following the Hanbali school of thought, eats that flesh and he prays, his salah is invalid. Why? Because the Hanbali believes that salah, the wudu, is broken when you eat that flesh. But the Hanafi does not believe so.
Yes.
See how they used to respect these differences. And you remember it was really weird in Mecca. You know, they used to have four different maqamat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Maqam means a place to lead the prayer for the Hanafi, the Shafi'i, the Maliki, and the Hanbali. And the followers of the Hanafi, they only pray behind the Hanafi, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, I remember they said it is the King Faisal, rahimahullah, who stopped this. And he said, all of us Muslims should pray behind one imam. And this is one of his hasanat, rahimahullah, which is something good. Otherwise, the ummah will be fragmented.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this topic is a very fruitful topic and is a very informative topic. You know, some of the ahkam, and this is maybe a joke, can be said. They said, is a Hanafi man allowed to marry a Shafi'i woman? Okay. In one of the books, and these are some extreme books not written by the well-known Hanafi scholars,
mm-hmm,
or reputable Hanafi scholars.
Mm-hmm.
They said, yes, he is allowed to marry her because it is allowed for a Muslim man to marry a dhimmi, a woman from the people of the book. So if it is allowed for him to marry a Muslim woman from the people of the book, okay, then it is allowed for him to marry what? Yani a woman following other school of thought. See, to that extent,
subhanallah,
to that extent. So it is true that sometimes this kind of differences takes extreme forms, but this is one of the ways, the practical ways to deal with it.
So Imam, what do you say about those people who have taken the view that we can follow any school of thought? I mean, you can shift from one to two. If you think that this is the sincere opinion which will please Allah.
Sheikh, we can keep that answer for the break, inshallah. We'll take a short break and we'll be right back with the answer for Dr. Saif's question.
Now my world is bright, Islam is my sight. Astaghfirullah al-azim al-ladhi la ilaha illa huwa al-hayy al-qayyum wa atubu ilayhi. أستغفر الله العظيم الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وأتوب إليه. My world is bright, Islam is my sight.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back. You're watching The Straight Path. Today we're talking about difference of opinions and how to understand it to unify the ummah. Just before the break, Dr. Saif, you had a question. If you can repeat it for the Sheikh and for the viewers.
What is the opinion of those people who follow different schools of thought? They don't stick to one, thinking that this is the most sincere opinion which Allah will like. I might find it from Hanbali, tomorrow I might find one in Hanafi. Both have the proof from the Hadith and the Sunnah. From the Quran and Sunnah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yeah, this is a dilemma that many people are facing, and actually young people are always asking about this question. The question, okay, in another format is, shall I follow a specific school of thought all the way, or shall I move from one school of thought to another? Now, people take two extreme views. One extreme, on one side, some people say, no, you should follow one madhab all the way, and you should not move outside the madhab. And even don't ask for the dalil or the proof. Even if you know that other school of thought is different or is in contrary to what you believe in, don't even try to investigate which opinion is an authentic opinion. Don't be bothered about it. And they portray or they project the madhab as if it is a complete deen. You are not allowed to go outside that deen. And sometimes they ask you, do you pray according to the Hanafi school of thought, or do you pray according to the Shafi'i school of thought? As if there is a special different deen for the Hanafi school of thought, another different deen for the Shafi'i school of thought, and so on. This view is a very extreme view. On the other side, there is the other extreme view as well, which says that those school of thoughts should be ignored, and we should go back to the Quran and Sunnah, and we should follow the Dalil, and we should not follow the madhahib whatsoever. In every single mas'ala, we should look for the dalil. Of course, this view is not a practical view at all, because, yes, you can try to follow the dalil and understand the dalil in certain issues regarding tahara, in certain issues regarding salah. But what about issues like buyu', transactions? What about issues like in terms of nafaqat, spending? What about issues regarding some other transactions, nikah, marriage, divorce? Are you going to look for the adilla in every single masala? You cannot. This is impossible. Even if you have the issue of time, it is impossible for you to understand these issues. And even if it does, is possible for individuals, for some individuals, it is not possible for the whole ummah. So that is what another extreme view. What we are saying is a combination between both. And this is what the Sahaba or the people after the Sahaba used to do. Because some people say we cannot follow Sahaba in this matter because the Sahaba, all of them were scholars and they used to understand Arabic language and they can understand the Adilla directly. But we should follow the people after the Madahib. Even the people after the Madahib, what we have seen is that the people used to follow a certain school of thought. But when they come to know that there is another opinion in contrary to their opinion, they try to investigate more which opinion is closer to the haqq, which opinion is closer to the truth that Allah Jalla wa Ala revealed. And once they know that this particular opinion is closer to the truth, they move to it, they adopt it. Why is this? Allah Jalla wa Ala clearly says what? وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. Obey Allah, obey the messenger, and obey what? أُولُو الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. Allah Jalla wa Ala did not say obey the school of thought. Allah Jalla wa Ala says in the Quran as well, وَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ. If you have a dispute about any matter, then what? Refer it to Allah and His Messenger. Allah Jalla wa Ala says, إِنِ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. And there are many other ayat. And Allah Jalla wa Ala says, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَ إِذَا قَلَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ. It is not for a believing man or a believing woman. If Allah Jalla wa Ala and His Messenger decides on something to choose another decision. Now, what does this mean? Means, if I know that this is the opinion taken by X scholar and this opinion is taken by Y scholar, what am I doing? Okay, I should investigate more what is the opinion that is closer to the haqq, because here there is a dispute and Allah Jalla wa Ala commanded me to what? Follow the truth. Mm-hmm. Now don't say that I cannot follow the truth. Don't say this. No one should claim that he cannot understand the Quran and Sunnah. No one could say he cannot understand where these scholars come from. Yes, in certain circumstances we cannot, but in some other circumstances, if the scholar said, this is my opinion, and the dalil behind my opinion is this, and the other scholar said, this is my opinion, and the dalil behind my opinion is that. Let me give you a rational proof. Now, if someone has a problem in his eye, okay, illness in his eye, and he went to Dr. X, not Dr. Saifuddin, okay, but another doctor, and he said, the doctor told him that you have to take this kind of medicine. And Then he wanted to investigate, because this is a sensitive issue. It's related to his eyesight. And then he went to another doctor. And the other doctor told him, no, be careful. That medicine might what? Cause you to lose your eyesight. What are you going to do? What any human being is going to do? Okay. Is he going to say, well, but I used to go to Dr. Saif and he is my school of thought. I should follow him irrespective of the situation? No. No one would say this. He will say, well, no, this is a sensitive issue. Let me investigate more.
But Sheikh, once you get to this stage and you've gone to one doctor or one madhab and you've seen another madhab's reply and you've seen this difference in front of you, how can you practically work out for yourself which is closer to the sunnah? Sincerity. How can I do this?
Okay, the first step, just before that, the first step, let us establish the fact that in some cases, when we hear that there is another view, let us take it one step further. Mm-hmm. As I said, Dr. X told me this, Dr. Y told me this, and the matter is sensitive, let me take it one step further. I will put what more effort towards understanding the haq, towards studying the issue. Yes. I will put an effort to understand what has this medicine to do with the eye. What are the main components of the ingredients of this medicine? Who said that this will badly affect my eye and so on? I will investigate the matter further. Similarly, when X scholar said that this is halal and Y scholar said that this is haram, I cannot just pick and choose. That's why all scholars agreed that picking and choosing from the madhahib is something that is not allowed. Imam Ahmad stated that clearly. Yahya ibn Ma'in stated that as well. And they said, من تتبع رخص الفقهاء فقد تزندق. The one who follows the concessions of the fuqaha, he is actually becoming a heretic. Mm-hmm. Now, this is from a rational point of view. At the end of the day, what are you going to do? You will take it one step further. From a practical point of view, yes, you might reach to a situation that, well, I investigated, okay, but I reached to a point that I cannot know which one is the truth. Okay, let us take the example of the eyesight. Mm-hmm. Okay? Let me ask you, Aman, what are you going to do if one doctor told you, yes, go for this, and the other doctor told you, no, be careful. If you go for this, this will harm your eye and you might lose eyesight. You try to investigate this issue further and you could not reach to anything. What are you going to do?
Either, well, it's a doubtful matter, Sheikh. So either I'm going to continue asking and researching and mm-hmm. ask a third opinion mm-hmm. Or just don't go for anything and wait. Or I can't see what else I would do because I'm not in a position to be able to, I've got no experience, so I'm left as a layperson.
Still the safer stuck. Opinion.
Exactly.
The
exactly.
Safer opinion.
So, either you will investigate more, or at the end of the day, you are going to what? You are going to put yourself on the safe side. Okay? Is that true or not?
Yes, true.
That's why, even from an Usuli point of view, the scholar said if there is a matter of differences, and according to an opinion, you might be subject to punishment or la'an or cursing from Allah Jalla wa Ala, or might be subject to do something haram. And on the other hand, the other opinion is not subjecting you to this. Abstain and put yourself on the safe side. Okay? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. See, yani from an Usuli perspective, from an Islamic perspective, it goes in line with what?
Common sense.
Yes. Our ration with the common sense.
Yes.
Okay? Yeah. So, this is one way of dealing with that. Now, this means that we can study according to one madhab. But while we are studying, we knew that there is another madhab or there is another opinion in this particular issue, in contrary to our opinion, and it is closer to the haqq, then we should investigate. And if we knew that the other opinion is stronger, then we adopt it as simple as that. And this, okay, brothers, and even for the audience, this goes with the nature that Allah Jalla wa Ala, with the nature of our intellects that Allah Jalla wa Ala created us according. Why? Because Allah Jalla wa Ala wants us to what? To think, to reflect, to see the signs of Allah Jalla wa Ala, and not to see, to say, as Allah Jalla wa Ala condemned the kuffar, إِنَّا وَجَدْنَا آبَاءَنَا عَلَىٰ أُمَّةٍ. We have seen our ancestors following this path, and we never investigated, we never put any effort to know the haqq, and we just followed their path. That's why Al-Shanqiti, when he spoke about this ayah, and he said, those muqallida, those who just yani, blindly following one school of thought or one opinion, are included in this condemnation mentioned by Allah Jalla wa Ala, because they don't want to put an effort. And moreover, he said that they fooled themselves by thinking that by just following the imam or the scholar, they put themselves in the safe side and they are not to be blamed. He said no, because the person in the worldly matters, he will blame himself if he put himself on risk because he did not investigate the issue. What about the issues related to his akhirah? Shall he stay and say, well, I am not to be blamed, my imam is the one to be blamed?
Yeah, because this is a normal excuse we always find, because especially people who are busy at jobs and so forth, they always use the excuse that we don't have the prerequisite even to look into the matter. So we'll just take one school of thought and call it a day.
So it's important you have the sincerity to search.
Exactly. That's why, you remember, we said that the criteria is what? The motivation behind what? The action. And Allah, the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. The motivation is very important. So if the person is sincere in following the haqq, he will be excused. But if he did not put any effort to follow the haqq, then the blame comes.
And making the effort, Sheikh, it should be on every single Muslim.
Of course. According to his ability. We have to be careful. Because Allah Jalla wa Ala said, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا مَا أَتَى. Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِأَمْرِ. If I command you to do something, then do as much as you can. Allah Jalla wa Ala says, اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Fear Allah as much as you can. So according to the ability. And التَّكْلِيفُ, as the scholar said, التَّكْلِيفُ مَنُوطٌ بِالِاسْتِطَاعَ. Yani the criteria of taklif, okay, is istita'a, is the ability to do it. So if you are able to do so, then do it. And it is not fair upon the person to put effort to know the materialistic issues and not to know his religion, his deen. And many people claim that they are busy and they are involved in so many things, okay, but they don't want to put any effort to learn their deen. And all of us know that people put spend a lot of time to watch videos, to watch TV, more than, okay, that they can spend to learn their religion. And then when you ask them to investigate a little bit, to study a little bit, they will say, well, okay, no, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها, and they start giving these excuses, and we are busy, etc., etc.
Also, Ustaz, there is a reward when you make ijtihad. Even if you are wrong, there is a reward.
Yes, this is another issue if to be added. Because the person who is putting effort means ijtihad. Okay? He will be, and he got the haqq, he will get two rewards.
Okay. Sheikh, we'll take a short break now. But when I come back, we'll talk about how as Muslims we can understand each other, even though we're following different opinions. Stay tuned for more on The Straight Path.
My world is bright. Islam is my sight.
Welcome to this new episode of Focus Point.
The new generation has the habit of reading more than before.
Jewish question was named basically the problem of Jews who lost their function in society.
Now my world is bright. Islam is my sign.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back. You're watching The Straight Path. Tonight we're talking how to deal with a difference of opinions in the different school of thought and how not to make it a barrier towards unity. Sheikh, in the very first segment you mentioned the story of Ibn Abbas and Zayd. And what are the etiquettes we can take from this story and just to work in unity even though we have difference of opinions?
Yes, this is a very interesting story. Ibn Abbas and Zayd, both of them are among the kibar of the Sahaba, the great scholars of the Sahaba. And both of them are specialized in fara'id. You know, afradukum Zayd, the Prophet ﷺ said about Zayd. Now, they used to differ. Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Ibn Abbas used to hold different opinions on one mas'ala of fara'id. And the issue of the inheritance or the share of the grandfather if there is no father. Means if a person dies and he has a father, a grandfather and brothers, who is going to take the inheritance, the assets? Is it the grandfather only or the brothers, or the brothers share with the grandfather? Mm-hmm. And this issue is a very important issue, and I don't know whether we have time to discuss it and to elaborate on it more. Anyway, Ibn Abbas used to say, "Ala yattaqi Allah Zayd?" Shouldn't Zayd fear Allah Jalla wa Ala? He makes the grandfather as a father. Yaj'alu, he considered the grandson as a son. And he doesn't consider the grandfather as a father. Means Ibn Abbas used to believe that the grandfather should take all the assets. Mm-hmm. And Zayd used to believe that the grandfather should share
the
assets with the brothers. So Ibn Abbas used to say, أَلَا يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ زَيْد يَجْعَلُ أَبَ الْأَبِي يَجْعَلُ إِبْنَ الْإِبْنِ إِبْنًا وَلَا يَجْعَلُ أَبَ الْأَبِي أَبًا. He considered the son, okay, the grandson as a son. Mm-hmm. So he takes the wealth. And he does not consider the grandfather as a father, means, and he should take the whole wealth. Mm-hmm. Now, this is a mas'ala, fiqhi mas'ala. And even Ibn Abbas used to call for mubahala with Zayd. What is mubahala? فإن تولوا فقل تعالوا ندعو أبناءنا وأبناءكم ونساءنا ونساءكم وأنفسنا وأنفسكم ثم نبتهل فنجعل لعنة الله على الكاذبين. Means we gather our children and our families, and you gather your families, and we go to Kaaba, and we ask the curse of Allah جل وعلا to fall upon the people who are not following the haq.
Subhanallah.
To that degree. Now someone might say, wow, subhanallah, what is this? This is something we cannot imagine, we cannot comprehend on. And when Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu met Zayd, Zayd, although he was older than Ibn Abbas, he took the hand of Ibn Abbas and he kissed his hand. Ibn Abbas was amazed. What are you doing, Zayd? Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu told Ibn Abbas, هَكَذَا أُمِرْنَا أَن نَفْعَلَ بِقَرَابَةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. This is how we were commanded to respect the relatives of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Because, you know, Ibn Abbas is the cousin of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Ibn Abbas, one time he saw Zayd, and Zayd was riding a camel. And Ibn Abbas started to take the lead of the camel, to guide the camel. Zayd told Ibn Abbas, Ibn Abbas, you are the relative of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why do you do that? He said, and this is how we were commanded to treat our elderly people and our scholars. When Zayd ibn Thabit radiyallahu ta'ala anhu died, Ibn Abbas said, لقد مات اليوم علم كثير رحم الله زيدا. He was not happy that Zayd died because he holds a different opinion and that opinion will not be a prevalent opinion. He said, Rahimallahu, look at this, subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
Rahimallahu Zayd. May Allah have mercy upon Zayd. Today, a ilm kathir, a great amount of ilm and knowledge have disappeared because of the death of Zayd. This is a typical example. There are many examples in our history. Al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah, Al-Shafi'i died in 204. He said, I never saw a person who is more wise than Yunus al-Sadafi. Yunus al-Sadafi, one of the scholars at his time. He said, أَخَذَ بِيَدِي يَوْمًا فَقَالَ يَا أَخِي أَلَا يَمْنَعُنَا أَن نَكُونَ إِخْوَةً وَلَوْ لَمْ نَتَّفِقْ فِي مَسَلَةً shouldn't be brothers. Even if we disagree on all matters.
SubhanAllah.
Of course, on all matters within this يعني realm that we have mentioned. That's why Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah رحمه الله تعالى said, وَلَوْ أَنَّ كُلَّ مُسْلِمَيْنِ اختلف تفرق لم يبق في المسلمين عصمة. If every two single Muslims disagree on something, they become what? Disunited, and they fight against each other, then the unity among Muslims, the isma among Muslims, the body of the Muslim, okay, will not remain intact because every two single Muslims might differ. And there are various examples if we started to talk about those examples and how the Sahaba and how the people after Sahaba used to deal with these differences, then I think it will take so many episodes. But the point here is we need to be able to tolerate these views. And as I said in the beginning, before jumping into a conclusion, let us try to understand the motivation behind that opinion, provided that especially we as Tullab al-Ilm or the seekers of knowledge, we know that this opinion is held by another school of thought. So if we know that and we know that this person is a Talib al-Ilm, why to jump to the conclusion that he is wrong and we should not pray behind him and we should not accept? Or even sometimes we say that he is not following the Sunnah. We think that the Sunnah is limited to what we do. And others, when they pray differently, they are not following the Sunnah, and we are the people following the Sunnah. This is one of the big mistakes many people fell into. Once we observe that, and once we have this kind of etiquette, then the hearts will come together, inshallah, and then we might achieve yani a unity on a smaller scale, and then that unity, inshallah, will be expanded.
But who's responsible to relate these information to the normal Muslims? I mean, sometimes, you know, the layperson of the madhhab, he's the one who makes the most problems. You understand, saying that I'm Hanafi or I'm Shafi'i. But who should bring that understanding towards them? Is it upon the leaders of the community?
Yes, actually, this is true. The leaders, the scholars, should teach their students and the lay people that there is something called etiquette of differences. And they should teach their students how to deal with others who hold different views. This is upon the scholars, okay? In the first, this is upon the scholars, okay, in the first place. And the scholars, by the way, should not teach students fiqh only. They should teach fiqh in the right perspective. You know, some of our scholars said one of the mistakes that we fall into is when we teach fiqh in isolation of our life. And in reality, fiqh is our life. So we should teach fiqh what in the right perspective, that it is part of our life. For example, and I remember we used to study with this scholar, and we came to Kitab al-Janaiz, the chapter of funerals. And he said the fuqaha, when they teach this, they were talking about it from a technical point of view, but the one who is teaching this, he should teach it from a fiqh point of view and from a spiritual point of view, because we are talking about death, and we are talking about the biggest challenge, قُلْ فَدْرَعُوا عَنْ أَنفُسِكُمُ الْمَوْتِ. And Allah Jalla wa'ala challenged all umam, okay, with this death. We ignore this. We ignore the spirituality of what we are studying. We are studying how to put the dead person in the grave. We are talking about the grave, whether it is lahd or whether it is shaq. And sometimes we ignore that we are going to the grave and what we are going to face there while we are studying it. Why? Because we have an isolation between what? Fiqh and spirituality. Similarly, we have isolated fiqh from tarbiyah, from etiquettes, from akhlaq, from manners. And this is one of the big mistakes many people who teach fiqh fell into.
SubhanAllah. So Sheikh, we have about 1 or 2 minutes remaining on the show. I mean, what is your message to the people out there and to us as well about the people who are following a madhab or a school of thought and opinions that are different from you? How can we merge it all together to live as a unified ummah?
Yeah, the first thing is, brothers and sisters, let us remove hatred from our hearts towards Muslims, and let us force ourselves to love each other. As the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Muslimu akhul Muslim, la yadlimuhu wa la yuslimuhu. The Muslim is the brother of the Muslim. He does not oppress him. He does not forsake him. So, and this is the essence of unity, to love each other. The Prophet ﷺ, when he migrated, in Hadith al-Tirmidhi, when he migrated to Medina, and he was a new leader coming to this new society, what was the first sermon that he gave to the people? People are expecting someone to speak about the policy. He said, أَلَا أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَى شَيْءٍ إِنْ فَعَلْتُمُوهُ تَحَابَبْتُمْ إِفْشُ السَّلَامَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Should I tell you about something? If you spread it, you will have love. You will love each other. أَفْشُ السَّلَامَ. Spread salam among yourself. So the Prophet ﷺ was keen that this love between the members of this new community or this new society to have. That's why he said, spread salam. Spread salam. And the other thing, in the Quran we see, Allah Jalla wa'ala says, قُلْ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يَقُولُوا الَّتِهِ أَحْسَنُ. Command the believers to what? To say that is better. Means, that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, yani commanded us, or the scholars said, if you have your brother, don't call him with the name that he doesn't like. Call him with the name that he likes the most. Why? Because this will put love between you and him.
Okay.
So this is, of course, in 2 minutes, this is the message that I can say. Of course, we have said more about this important issue.
Sheikh Haytham Al-Haddad, thank you very much for being with us on The Straight Path. We hope to have you sometime more in the future, inshallah. Dr. Saif and Brother Aman Paul, it's always a pleasure having you on The Straight Path. And of course, the message is to remove hatred for the other Muslims who follow a different opinion. We should always spread love between ourselves. And if you have any comments about the show or any show you would like to see on The Straight Path, please write to us, straightpath@huda.tv. Until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
After those long dark nights, now my world is bright. Islam is my sight. Now I found the light. After those long dark nights, now my world is bright. Islam is my sight. Now my world is bright. Islam is my sight. Now my world is bright. Islam is my sight. Islam is my sight.